I have a lovely feather bed. It's big enough for two. Nice and wide and strong beside, but the frame is split in two. He says my drill needs sharpening and maybe some delay. She turned around and went to the phone and called up Jimmy Gray. He's fixed her bed, he's mowed her field and ground her corn to flour. Did a new drive shaft and off they went at 100 miles an hour. So fellas, if ever a girl should ask, would you do a little job today? Just grab your tools and run like a hare, be there before Jimmy Gray.
And you're back at Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM, live in the studio. And you can be live, too. Call 427-3772. Our studio line is open. Becky, I want to let you kind of finish up that shelter subcommittee report from the coming up for the Homeless Issues Task Force. Again, their main meeting is the day before the HUF meeting. They're going to be meeting at 5:30 down at the ABC room of the Civic Auditorium. That's across from City Hall, 5:30 on Monday, November 1st. And on the 2nd, more important than that Homeless Issues Task Force, as far as I'm concerned, is HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, the kinds of protests that might actually get the mayor to start listening to the Homeless Issues Task Force. So what else is coming up that they decided tonight? Anything of note?
Well, the direction they're going is to recommend to the City Council safe zones, areas where it would be legal for homeless people to stay at night. And they're very considering supporting the actual areas identified in David Silva's initiative to repeal the sleeping ban that he had brought to one of the first meetings of the Homeless Issues Task Force.
Industrial zones and such.
It's the industrial areas both on the west side and in the Harvey West area, and with a corridor connecting them that's a commercial zoned commercial area that would be legal for people to sleep in their vehicles at night.
Here's what I call Sleeping Ban Repeal Junior. Last year, you and I and David Silva all worked on the Sleeping Ban Repeal Initiative, which sought to put on the ballot an initiative that would make sleeping legal in your vehicle or outside and public property in non-residential, non-beachfront zones. We got a lot of signatures, thousands of them, in fact, but we didn't get it on the ballot. But the Sleeping Ban Junior initiative, of course, cuts out the downtown. The problem with all this stuff, and I think it's good, is it seems to me what the Homeless Issues Task Force needs to do is simply come up with a demand that there be some safe sleeping zones stipulated. Who cares where? Just do it.
Well, there was some discussion about whether where was a good thing to present to the council at this point in time. Don Lane argued that we should just present saying that there should be safe zones somewhere. And others, myself included, argued that we should specify where those safe zones should be, because after all, Catherine Byers has said, there's just no place for them, meaning where homeless people can sleep at night.
Well, I agree. I mean, there's nothing wrong with citing specifics, but to spend a lot of time running around pretending that you're being listened to when you're not, to me, is a waste of time. It's the same kind of waste of time, and actually provoked by the same individual. And I got to say, this is Sherry Connable's work, and I don't agree with her on this at all. She sent back to committee the question of the rent stabilization initiative, when in fact they should have just said, yeah, higher rents produce more homelessness. I'm sorry, that's where it's at. Let's move on. Let's present that to the City Council and as a simple statement. Instead, she wanted to talk about it in subcommittee, and then of course never showed up for the subcommittee meetings where it was being discussed. Similarly, last week she sent back to the subcommittee the question of whether there should be safe zones. This to me, frankly, I see it as a kind of, you know, unnecessary posturing and power tripping that's going on inside the Homeless Issues Task Force, and I don't like it. I think it's good to have the information you have, which is, you know, the specific safe zones, but it's not coming out of your committee, is it? They made no recommendation, and so the whole body will, again, say nothing about zones while people are freezing their butts off.
They didn't pass any kind of resolution that I could bring for you today. One other thing Don Lane came up with was he suggested that they might have a permit system for people who need to sleep at night, which I guess is everybody, He envisioned it as something where you go down to the city and you'd say, I need to, you read and agree to a certain set of rules and sign something, and your license plate for your vehicle would be registered at whatever location that you're at. and that the police would not mess with you in those circumstances. He thought something like that might work.
So if you pay off the guys at the city, then, you know, then the police will, you know, kind of treat you right. Yeah, I kind of like that. Luigi might agree, too.
Actually, this is sort of reminds me of Neil Kunde's proposal of panhandling permits, which were going to be issued at City Hall to the worthy poor back in 1994. This one was laughed out of the city council. Of course, they made panhandling after dark illegal, so you can't ask anybody for anything of value downtown after dusk without the threat of a $162 fine.
Well, the advantage is that if you have a permit, then you're not identifying any particular zone, and you're not impacting one area of the city differently than other areas of the city.
Sure. The problem, of course, with the permit, and we brought we went around the roundabout with this one, like in January, was if you do have a permit, what are you going to do? Display it on your board? How are the police going to know you have a permit? Are they going to wake you up at 2 a.m. to find out if you have a permit? And if you are displaying it, aren't you going to be subject to harassment as a homeless person with a permit to sleep? Aren't you going to be identifying your verdict as a target for people who want to mess with homeless people, like these people out on Almar Avenue who are messing with homeless people, even though they're trying to do so in a legal way with the police force behind them? They are still messing with homeless people.
Yeah, Ken Cole said that the alternative that's offered is to get out of town. And that's certainly not an acceptable alternative in any of our minds.
Or as Sergeant Clark told Anthony Douglas in April, when he accosted him for spare changing, and Clark was in plain clothes, and Anthony Douglas, a former Street Spirit vendor, the newspaper Street Spirit, he told Douglas, get off Pacific Avenue. I want you off Pacific Avenue. And of course, the Police Review Board apparently found nothing wrong with that. Although when I talked to Police Review Board member Sandy Brown today, she said, "Well, we never heard that that's what happened." You got to say that they never looked for that's what happened, because people requested a public hearing, and this fine board had no interest in a public hearing on that issue. In fact, has had no interest on public hearings on any complaints. And that includes the current independent investigation of the May 22nd approach. There has been no call for any public hearings on this issue. So we see this traditional pattern of a bureaucracy supposedly concerned with controlling and monitoring the police department actually thinking it can do that by schmoozing away and acting in private and kind of quietly trying to deal with the police department to resolve abuses, when they need to do, of course, is go public, mobilize public support, and recognize it's going to take quite a fight to change the situation. It's time for another musical break.
The children are born, they bud and they bloom, four in a bed, eight in a room, a tapestry woven on poverty's loom. So build a wall where the children play, till the welfare comes to take them away. The children sit in the dust and stare, too hungry to move, too hungry to care. Only their eyes beg us to share. So build a wall and on it carve, behind this wall the children starve. The children cry and crouch in the mud, pain in the belly and fear in the blood. Fear is a torrent, but hate is a flood. So build a wall when the bombers fly. You needn't watch the children.
And on the line with us tonight is that man from Beach Flats, both landlord, activist, and thorn in the butt of City Council and well-spoken orator, Phil Bear. Hi, Phil.
Hi there, Robert.
Oh boy, you're more orational than I am.
your voice has got that melodious tone, and it booms on. I'm going to adjust my levels here.
Well, no, let me just say anything that comes to mind in that case.
Please do. But what I wanted to ask you had to do with a little, I don't know how well attended it was. Was the Tuesday afternoon session of our fine city council well attended?
No.
How many people were in the audience?
Well, 20 perhaps.
And was there an issue that came up that you think deserved wider public discussion than it got?
Well, yes. And probably would have gotten wider public discussion had anyone realized that the issue was going to come up. It wasn't really on the agenda. It was, the general subject was affordable housing, and what we understood, it was a continuation of a hearing that had taken place a few days earlier. What the paperwork on it seemed to imply was that they were going to prioritize amongst five different types of projects that the staff had presented them with by way of trying to sort of roughly identify what their priorities were. And it was the one referencing the beach flats was, the wording was, construct new housing within the target area. The target area being a little euphemism that they apply to us down here, though in fact the target area is bigger than the flats. It includes Beach Hill and Lower Ocean Street, a target area that they someplace, as we understood it, one of the possible priorities would be the construction of new housing somewhere within the target area.
Let me interrupt this, Phil, to cut through some of this to say that, as I understand it, there has been some concern. You and I have talked about this at length in the last 6 or 9 months, that there already is a project which insiders in the city council are pushing. It's Mercy Housing's Dolphin Lee project. That is to say the...
Yes, that's what I was getting to.
Right.
From the general concept of building new housing in the target area, it quickly got to the specific Dolphin Lee project, which was identified as their first choice. They didn't rule out the possibility of building some other new housing in addition to or in place of the Dolphin Lee, but the first project that staff was directed to look at was the Dolphin Lee. So all of a sudden you went from a conceptual thing of building new housing in the target area to a site-specific project, and I don't think anybody realized it was going to get that specific, and that's why the meeting was poorly attended.
Well, wasn't it true that even Mike Rotkin, who has been a big backer of things like the beach area plan, the Third Street realignment, and one would presume Dolphin Lee, didn't want to say, let's focus on the Dolphin Lee, because there wasn't any public hearing about it. Instead, he said something to the effect of, let's put all our millions of dollars into the beach flats, but not go into a specific site. And wasn't it Catherine Byers who then said, no, we're going to go for the Dolphin Lake?
Yes.
Can you give us some more details about that?
No, but that's accurate. On the previous hearing that was continued to this one, one of the final events of that evening was Rotkin, who seems to make practically all of the actual motions for some reason, motioning that his second priority amongst these five different kinds of projects and ways of achieving affordability would be to build some new housing in the beach flats. And he did not get site specific, and that was the nature of the motion that was sort of pending when the meeting was discontinued and then And so everybody assumed that that would be the motion that would be coming forth at this continuation of that meeting, and I think that would have been acceptable to most people, and therefore a lot of people who would have shown up had they known that we were going to get real specific did not show up.
Now, the significance of this, as I understand it, is we've heard a lot of double talk about whether this Mercy Housing Dolphin Lee project, which, as I understand it, is going to evict hundreds of Hispanic people, many of whom were activists who supported the current city council majority under Maria Gutierrez, it will evict them in a position where the kind of relocation money they'll get will not even let them find affordable housing in Santa Cruz, much less hang around long enough to try to return to use these the Dolphin Lee project when it is when it is revamped. Are they going to bulldoze the actual thing and reconstruct on that?
Yes.
So they're not going to create any new housing.
About five units.
A net increase of 5 units, but instead of, let's say, buying some of the Canfield property around there or the houses that have fallen into disrepair and upgrading them to usable status, because right now the Dolphin Lake is occupied and being used, right?
Yes.
Instead of doing that, they're pushing this Mercy Housing project, which and again, I guess this is the key factor that you've been focusing on, without honestly saying, we really want this, let's do it, after we've talked about it and discussed all the ins and outs and the ups and the downs. But they're not talking about it. Instead, they're using this sort of, nobody's at the meeting, so whippity-doo-dah.
Yes, and it should also be pointed out that no one from the neighborhood and absolutely no one from the project site has ever spoken in favor of the project. They have zip urging from the impacted population to do this thing, and in fact what they get from the people who do speak is skepticism, if not open criticism of the whole plan. And that hasn't altered the movement either.
Now, there was a discussion, wasn't there somewhat of a discussion of this issue at the trailer across from your house, sort of the city trailer, where you have occasional meetings of city council?
Yes, most recently about a week ago.
What was that all about?
Well, it was in anticipation, that would actually have been more like a week and a half ago, and then the hearing, that was on the 16th in the trailer, and then the hearing at the council was on the 19th, and then it was continued until night before, or afternoon before yesterday. So the initial thing was after they had circulated this document that the planning department came up with, where they identified five possible sites for a housing project within the beach flats, including the Dolphin Lee, circulated this supposedly to the entire neighborhood, and I think they probably did, and a very poorly attended meeting, however one interprets that. To me, if you are basically promising to provide a good chunk of a neighborhood with brand new housing for no more than 30% of their present income, a fabulous offer were it true, and nobody shows up, you've got to kind of assume that there's a certain high level of disbelief or something, something is missing, because no one said, oh, hey, I'll take one.
Well, I know a lot of us are concerned about, we found the city council failed the homeless last Christmas. We found that Byers and her man on the city on the homeless task force, Don Lane, as far as I'm concerned, are involved in, trying to sabotage actions by the homeless issues task force.
Readily believe that.
I don't. Lane is, the preacher.
Lame.
The preacher of Byers and Dick Wilson in terms of his job. And so you might say he is responsible for that, but I think we're finding that city council members like Fitzmaurice there's some people who say that they lack integrity. What do you think of that claim?
With Fitzmaurice, I think he's very naive relative to the Dolphin Lee, and I won't extend that to other subjects with which I'm
Byers?
Less knowledgeable. Well, both Byers and Fitzmaurice, to me, have a certain tendency to want to keep everything within a circle of confidants that they have established, and it the generic term for it would be cronyism. They both seem very hesitant to look outside of the circle with which they presently feel comfortable, even when I think there are reasons to suggest that they really should be studying available options a bit more.
Well, let me ask you this. What can people do who want to fight Dalton Lee? I mean, I've suggested to you rounding up all the people you can and marching down to City Hall and demanding affordable housing by, you know, eminent domaining Canfield property and actually expanding affordable housing. And you so far have not taken up my fine suggestions. But what can people do who are outside the beach area who want to support the rights of residents not to be evicted?
Well, we could urge you to do these things you urge us to do.
No, thanks, man. Well, actually, I would certainly be liable to support such a thing, but as you know, my heart is with anyone.
You're liable, is for sure.
Yeah. Maybe you can...
No, I don't know. To my way of thinking, if people really familiarize themselves with the actual state and federal laws regulating the relocation of people when displacement occurs, I think they would quickly realize that relocation really is a dirty word, and when you're talking about low-income people, that it invariably shafts them.
And I know
certainly would in this particular case.
And you're going to turn out an informational flyer that will make that all clear in 300 words or less.
Well, I certainly hope to. It should be done. And if not me, definitely you.
Well, you're so sweet. And for people to want more information, can they give you a call?
Yes, 423-0170.
We've been talking to Phil Baer, a Beach Flats activist who just saw the city council pull a real fast one on Tuesday afternoon. Is that accurate?
Yes, it is, Robert.
Thank you for being with us. Anything you
Thank
want to conclude
you.
With?
Pardon me?
Anything you want to conclude with?
No, the thanks for... I would also like to urge the public to urge the city council to tell them what they are learning from their attorneys with regard to the Tideland issue. It's high time, it seems to me, that the public become privy to that discussion.
So, no on Dalton Lee and yes on information for the Tidelands. Give a call to City Council at 420-5020.
Precisely.
You can do that now. It's a 24-hour message line.
Indeed. Thanks, Robert.
Thanks, Phil.
Set the alarm for 5:30, and its high-pitched hum brought me alive again. Dialed the bed into the wall recess. Gain into more feet of space in which to dress. Out of the night spell, out of the sleep cell, into the tunnel of day. I took the high-speed lift to Gallery 9 and stood in the mail a married worker's line, grade 4. Gave me rank and number to the slot and drew me daily water ration, took the lot. Oh, what a great day, oh, what a May day, oh, what a day to be young. The thermostats, they were set for spring when I rode the conveyor to the female wing above. Met her by the ventilation shaft. Love light shining through the visor of a mask. Oh, what a great day, oh, what a May day, oh, what a day to be young. Her hand was in mine as we made our way to the high-speed vertical shuttle bay third class. The daytime argon light shone bleak and hard. When we showed our permits to the shuttle guard, our moment of fear, love, then we were clear, love, then we were moving away. We lay in the capsule and we took our ease while the shuttle leveled off at about 2 G's and soared. past the admin wings, the private galleries, and past the living quarters of the citizens, first class. Unfasten your seatbelts, now we're at topside, this is the eye of the world. At last in the observation tower, we stood there silent in the breathless hour of dawn. Saw the knives of sun come bronze and gold and green, gilding all the face of earth we'd never seen. Don't cover your eyes, don't turn from the sunrise, this is the face of the earth. Look how the hills show rosy red, and the shag green scum of the riverbed is still. That was once a forest, those were trees, bearing leaves of green that rustled in the breeze. What killed off the trees, what poisoned the breezes, what made the rivers run dry? Look at the land where the green grass grew, it's dusted over with the rusty hue of death. There the sea lies stranded by the shore. No fishes swim there and the seabirds fly no more. Who sucked the earth dry? Who made the sea die? Look what they've done with the world. Cursing the ones who gave us birth, we turned away from the blighted earth below. They gave us breath but robbed us of the air. They killed the grass, the trees, the seas, the rivers everywhere. The earth was our birthright.
Sir, is the coalition treating you properly? Are they making you do all the hard work here?
Yeah, well, you know, they're always fucking with me, so.
So why don't you demand a decent prevailing living wage here?
At the coalition?
Yeah. Look at these. You're going to allow yourself to be mistreated by this group?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Actually, we're having a joke at your expense. We're talking to Paul Bowden, who's often tapped by the coalition to make statements to the media, and you seem to be preparing the document, the plan for action to end homelessness in San Francisco, which is the subject of today's Homeless People's Congress.
Yes.
How's the turnout?
Actually, I think it's great. For a working meeting, I think it's excellent. I think it just shows that people actually do want to have input into the decisions that impact their lives, whether it become decisions of the coalitions or the cities or the federal government. The thing is, nobody asks them. You know, if you see homeless people being talked to, it's about, well, why are you homeless, or what are you going to do to not be homeless? You very rarely hear homeless people being talked to about what they think about structures and society and policies and laws. And this shows, you know, you do some outreach, you talk to people about broader issues about society, and then you call together a meeting of people to talk about those as a group, and they show up.
Now, this came out of your October 1st through 3rd National Coalition for the Homeless get-together?
Honestly, it had absolutely nothing to do with that. This was something that we had started a while ago, that we felt like we were doing a lot of outreach around specific campaigns that we was involved in, or specific fights that we was involved in, which we always do. But we hadn't in...
Such as the shopping cart seizures, such as the Food Not Bombs bus.
Mission Rock closures, you know, ad nauseum. Right. Median strip legislation, welfare reform. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we had been doing a lot, as is our way of doing shit, we had been doing our outreach on that, but we had not for at least a year really just said, okay, let's look big picture shit, and let's make sure that the coalition has a week behind us making comments about we think this and we think that.
And so you went to different places where homeless people gather in San Francisco and asked them to give their input for a rather comprehensive document concerned with four major areas: healthcare, economic rights, civil and political rights, and
housing.
And housing. Yeah.
It's a homeless issue.
That's a good point, yeah.
So yeah, we did, and we did it from the big picture. We said, this isn't about you individually, this is about, you know, what do you think society should be doing? Mm-hmm. And then found the common denominators in that input. I mean, we interviewed over 250
The three mayoral candidates have all taken up your platform and are pushing to implement.
Right, I mean, that's, you know, when you look at the reports from the experts or the plans from the candidates, you don't see a process of actual inclusion of poor people. And
or exclusion of poor people.
You do see you see no mention of them, actually.
They're invisible.
And it becomes Clint Riley plan or Mayor Jordan plan, or, you know, it becomes...
Although homelessness is the big topic, according to the Chronicle survey.
Well, homelessness as it pertains to a tourist mecca that wants to get rid of the visual presence of homeless people,
right,
is a major topic. Homelessness as a societal issue is not a topic at all. You know, what we see plans for 500 more cops. We see plans for a confiscation of shopping carts. That's not homelessness, and it's not homeless people. That's strictly aesthetics.
Social cleansing.
Social cleansing, aesthetic cleansing. You know, it's about San Francisco has sold its soul to the tourist dollar.
Does Tom Ammiano have a different perspective, the write-in mayoral candidate?
I mean, I think Ammiano's the only one that we would comfortably give this document to and say whatever plan you come up with should reflect the goals and objectives of this document, and then trust that he would work with us to do that. He's the only one right now that I think would actually give some credence to, oh, this is input from homeless people, well, let's check it out.
What is going to be the impact of this election? Is it just Tweedledee, Tweedledum, and Tweedledoo-dah?
Well, it's nastier than that. I mean, it's much nastier than that. It's you know, removing the presence of poor people from San Francisco with a broomstick or with an axe handle. But it's
so who's the worst, who's the best, or is there a significant difference?
No, I mean, whether the cop's hitting you with a broomstick or an axe handle, you're still getting hit.
So Brown, Riley, and Jordan all pretty much have the same program.
I think all three of them have no spirit. They have no soul. Their soul is a political expediency to kiss ass with the people that fund their campaigns, to keep things in-house with their buddies, and to think that, you know, right now the political mood is everybody wants to get rid of poor people, so therefore that's what I'm going to do. And the idea that American society is supposed to protect the rights of the individual is a totally foreign, totally bullshit concept to the people that are vying for the most powerful seat in the city.
I've often noticed that these sweep away the homeless matrix style programs show up around election time often. And I've often thought that they don't really reflect the overwhelming sentiment of the community, but are you taking a different view? Do you think this really does, to some extent, reflect what the average person on the street wants to do?
No, I think the average person on the street has been bombarded with...
And you're listening to Paul Bowden of the Coalition on Homelessness, an interview recorded yesterday.
They're not us. They're from somewhere else. They're drug addicted.
They're Jews.
You know, basically. And so I think after 10 years of this constant bombardment that homeless people are not us, that they've grown to accept that people are going to be swept. It's funny how shopping carts takes a different personification. I mean,
if you won that issue, this was an attempt to get shopping carts confiscated and homeless people actually criminally prosecuted, right?
Yeah, and mainly people's response to having your personal possessions taken by cops hits closer to home than having you removed from their doorstep.
And the rights of property, after all.
Exactly. It's what maintained slavery for so many years. You know, there's something inherent about the rights of property and the way that the media portrays attempts to remove people of that property than the way that the media attempts
to... They might try to take my briefcase next.
You know, exactly. Well, you know, it fits more along those lines. I think it's also the way that the issue's discussed. If you look at the way the media talks about shopping cart confiscation programs and the way the media talks about sweeps of homeless people, is very, very different language that's used to describe those two events. And people respond to the education that they're getting. And people respond much greater the way that they're educated around the shopping cart stuff than the way that they're educated around the sweeps of people.
What about an issue like food not bombs, which seems to be a no-brainer? All the churches favor feeding homeless people, and indeed the city for 3 years, 3.5 years, has backed off arrests and tickets of this group, which feeds people in Civic Center Plaza, I guess now it's UN Plaza,
yeah.
and out on the Haight. But now suddenly the arrests are coming down. Do you think that this is likely to provoke strong response from the community, or is Food Not Bombs going to die a quiet death?
I definitely don't think Food Not Bombs will die a quiet death. I would hope that it generates a response. I mean, I think it will depend on how long they continue to do it and how long Food Not Bombs stands up to it. I would say that Food Not Bombs, has a legitimate issue that they could build some bridges with, and it's going to be a matter of them doing that.
And is there sort of an intersection between the coalition and Food Not Bombs on this issue, because they're stealing shopping carts of one hand and they're stealing food of the other, and of course it all is targeted at homeless people.
And it's also about, if Food Not Bombs fed people inside, they wouldn't be getting fucked with.
Get them out of sight.
It's really about visual.
Get those shopping carts out of sight.
It's about how would this look on the front of a postcard. And this city has really, it can't be overstated what it costs you spiritually when you sell out to the highest bidder.
It's interesting, San Francisco went after food servers almost before any other city that I've heard of. 1988, they began sweeping the Haight, arresting people.
That was a personal thing.
You think so?
But it became policy because it was personal on the part of the mayor.
Mayor Art Agnes.
But other groups, United Council and some others, at that point said, okay, we'll go inside. And Food Not Bombs, to their credit, said, no, we're not going to go inside.
But the same year, they went after vehicular residents all over town. And I know that seemed to be a police department orchestrated campaign to embarrass then-Mayor Agnos. But it seemed to be an early kind of campaign. We heard that, in the mid-90s, sit on the sidewalk, go to jail laws spread all over the country from Seattle. But isn't it strange that San Francisco sort of took the lead in this 5 years before?
Not really. I mean, not really. I think people overestimate the liberalism of San Francisco. What is it? That old saying, a Democrat is a Republican that hasn't been mugged yet, We've had several interactions with groups that work for, on behalf of the peasants in El Salvador type approach, that don't have that same visceral response to homeless people in their own communities being fucked with. So it really, as somebody that's been here now 20 years, it didn't surprise me. What surprised me, I think, was I expected, more independence on the Board of Supervisors and more people electing supervisors on a local basis, as opposed to the amount of power that Willie Brown has consolidated under his thumb.
Appointing half the board.
And the sellouts of people that were all concerned about civil rights 5 years ago that under Brown could care less. I was amazed how many old-time San Francisco motherfuckers sold out on the civil rights issue.
Would
when
this
it came
be a good
to
reason
home.
To vote for Jordan or Riley simply because you'd have a Board of Supervisors politically opposed, at least in terms of party affiliation, to the existing mayor?
No, I mean, I'm hoping people go for Amiano. I mean, I think that...
He's just a write-in candidate, though.
But I think the fact that he's gotten such a strong response in such a short amount of time, that I think that the City Hall people have overestimated how much influence that downtown interests have, and the level of resentment that people that live here that aren't rich, whether they be middle class or not, that are not rich, that feel like, this city is losing its soul, and we're gonna do something about it before we have to pack up and leave.
Any chance of broader coalitions between renters and homeless people?
Well, I think there is a good coalition now, and I think it could always be broader. I mean, it really comes down to It's hard when you're struggling and fighting on the issue that's the most important to you to break off from that and do something else. And it's things like today, you know, not everybody here today is homeless. You know, there's a lot of people here, and many of them are homeless, but not all of them are. And I think that using things like the Street Sheet or the Raising Our Voices with Street Spirit and Poor Magazine and Street Sheet working together, that kind of working on projects together that overlap is happening more and more.
Any movement at the state level, as there was, say, 10 years ago to end laws like the criminal lodging law, didn't happen, but there was some state movement at that time to, you know, decriminalize homelessness in public places, or is there simply a move to recriminalize or more intensely criminalize homeless people?
The October shit that was going on here, having San Diego come up and having Santa Barbara and Sacramento there.
The National Coalition for the Homeless Civil Rights Project?
Yeah. That was, and those guys, they all crashed at the office and we hung out like the Saturday night together and we'll be doing stuff together. To the extent that that's the beginning of a movement, yeah. I think to the extent that any of us that are involved in on a gut level dealing with civil rights shit, look to Housing California or Home Base or any of those fuckers, we're out of our fucking mind. It hasn't been an issue up till now. They're apparently making it an issue. They invited us to come speak at some meeting that they were having on civil rights issues. To the extent that there's any visceral or spiritual commitment to fighting the civil rights abuses of homeless people, not a chance.
How's the district attorney on homeless issues? Hallinan is facing stiff competition.
He's a punk. He's a, you know, and the district attorney more than anybody else should be the one that says, I'm not going to let the political mood dictate whether or not I prosecute people because they're unpopular.
And his record regarding homeless people in the last few years
is bullshit. He dumped tickets when they were attached to Frank Jordan and wouldn't dump those same tickets when they were attached to Willie Brown. So he's a political punk. And he's got...
Hack.
He's a punk. There's no other way to put it. He is a punk. And he is, you know, what Malcolm X called the worst of all worlds is that he's a hypocrite. And when you're a hypocrite on the backs of human beings, you're a punk.
Who are you recommending people vote for those who are San Francisco voters?
For DA?
Yeah.
Shit.
Gonzalez?
Maybe, yeah. Yeah.
No,
leaning in that direction.
Police brutality, he was concerned about that issue. I know. I don't know much about his stance on the homeless. Anything you want to sum up with or talk about?
I mean, what people can't see but maybe they can hear is, you know, just how many people put in the time and energy when they're asked what they think to tell you what they think and to organize and to fight shit. And that, you know, any organization that... And I get these questions all the time about how do you guys involve homeless people and blah, blah, blah. And it's so fucking simple. All you got to do is ask, you know, and keep asking. And one person comes in, then maybe next week two more come in, and then the next week three more come in. And if you stay together and if you keep yourself together, over time you build a base, you know, where this isn't jerking off. This isn't instant gratification without having to do any work. The process of organizing is about the next generation, not this generation. And you can't be looking for self-aggrandizement or self-accomplishment. You have to be looking about building a movement. And that's really what groups need to focus on. People will do shit for other people. They really will. And they'll put time and energy into working on something that may not affect them, but is going to affect somebody else that they haven't met yet that's in the same place as them, if they're given the opportunities to do it.
We've been talking to Paul Bowden, Coalition on Homelessness, who appeared to be an anonymous flyer putter together, but apparently has something to say about everything under the sun. Thank you, Paul.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Hey, Radio Santa Cruz. We're talking to
Ryan Doherty.
And Ryan, you say that you haven't been harassed recently, but about a year ago you did get some flack from police?
Yeah, I did.
And what was that about?
That was for sleeping on the beach, actually.
Uh-huh.
And they just they told me that if I didn't get out of there, they gave me like 5 minutes, they were going to arrest me, take me to jail.
A police deputies Highway Patrol or Parks and Rec?
Sheriff Department.
That'd be the county sheriffs. Yeah. And you say, are you living outdoors or you got a place to stay?
No, I got a place to stay now.
And at that time you didn't?
Yes, I didn't have a place to stay.
And did you tell them that?
Yes.
What did they say?
They told me to get a job.
What did you say to that?
I told them I had a job. It's just the cost was just too expensive for me at the time.
And they said?
They told me, tough luck.
Tough luck. That's the perennial refrain. Well, you know about the city sleeping ban here. It's illegal for people to sleep, $54 fine in your vehicle or outside or on the beach.
Right.
What do you think about that?
I think it's just ridiculous. It's pointless. It's just another way for the department to make money, you know?
Or not even make money, because you can't make money off people who don't have any
That's
money.
True. That's true. Just harass them. Yeah. It's ridiculous.
Well, anything you want to add for Free Radio Santa Cruz?
Free Jerry Henry.
Hey, let's hear about Jerry Henry. That's the guy that old Judge Yonce put $100,000 bail on.
$100,000 bail on.
Now, this is the guy. Did he commit rape? Did he commit murder?
He did nothing, but they got him down for 13 counts, and what, the last count was was trespassing.
I thought it was 11, but yeah, I know.
It was 11, 13 now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So when did they add the next last two counts?
I don't know. Whenever they felt like it. Yeah.
You guys are from the Rancho Del Mar, Aptos area?
Yes, we are.
And you're, I guess, you know Jerry Henry for how long?
For 5 years.
And you've been for 4 years. What's your name?
Bill Army.
And Bill and?
Ryan.
And Ryan, you guys are doing regular picketing out at the Rancho Del Mar. Did that happen today?
It's not regular picketing, but we're probably going to start up again because it's, once again, it's ridiculous. He can't even enter the shopping center at all at this point.
Well, this is a guy who's sort of a street minister who had advised young people about the right not to move on, even if the first alarm security, even if the deputy sheriff, even if the merchants in business suits, even if the highway patrol told them to, that they have certain basic rights, right?
That's true. So basically, they're trying to enforce a policy of social cleansing.
Keep these guys awake. I don't want them sleep at all.
and so Jerry was taken to jail last Friday, a week ago actually, on two charges, after he'd actually been arrested for a similar charge, a peculiar charge, trespass to interfere with a business.
Interfering with the business, yeah, 602.1.
He walked in the business.